If you would, in your Bible, in the light of an exercise of 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, if we may. It's a wonderful, wonderful exercise and requires some understanding. So, Spirit of God, here we are. You know. Boy, do you know. Thank you. If you would, in 1 John chapter 3, and you remember we're looking at the wonderful truth of chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. But in verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of the children of God, and we're waiting to be made to be like him. And we have this wonderful hope, expectancy, anticipation to be like him. God made us, put eternity in our heart to be able to know the eternal God in an eternal way. So as we've been looking at that, reminding ourselves that God was super duper serious about saving you. And when he died on the cross, like we shared in Sunday school, he died and was buried. And we need to be dead and buried and actually understand God doesn't dig it up. He's done with it. He's done with you in your old nature. He's done with all the minutes of the rest of your life. He has forgiven them. However long you live, he already has forgiven you of all the rest of your life. He has done a wonderful thing for you and taking care of that. So it's buried. We tend to not understand being buried. We're freed from our old nature. Our old nature is there every day, but our old nature bothers us and does so many different things, attitude, words, thoughts, deeds. It doesn't. But we don't trust that. We don't even let that interfere with us. We just walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we confess our sin if it's a real problem, of 1 John, as we read chapter 1, and we can do all of those things. And we practice that because we're dead. Christ has taken all that, all the dumb stuff I could say tomorrow. He's already crucified it, buried it, finished it. All the dumb stuff I could do next year, if I live that long, is finished. It's finished. It's finished. It's all done. We haven't even experienced it, but it's all finished. He's done with it. And he rose again to give us newness of life, a wonderful relationship to who he is. And we need to have power. The Spirit of God has to make it all real. You can't have anything, as we shared. You can't have anything of God without God. You can't have the peace of God without God. You can't have the joy of God without God. You can't have anything without God. All of God requires God. You can't exclude him. You want to walk in the light? You have to walk with God. And so, hang on, all of that. So when he died for us, he truly, truly set us free and took our sin and made us new creatures in Christ. And we shared that to understand. And the world back then, before 100 AD, the world back then was what? It was with all the dumb things were going on. The Greeks were saying whatever, the Gnostics, all the different ones were doing it, saying, well, your real Jews were saying, well, you need to keep the law. And people were saying, no, you have an old nature. You have your desires, your appetites. You exercise them. You don't have to look to God. Just do what you have to do and the way you want to do it. Everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. So all of that is there. And the believer has to get through. And the believer was having a struggle. Because here we have to walk a straight line down the corridor of time. And everyone's telling him it doesn't matter, the straight line. It doesn't matter to do. So you do whatever you want, whenever. So you have to overcome that. And that's what the epistle, first epistle of John, is to help us to get past that, to understand what God has done. He has finished and risen and given us a wonderful, wonderful relationship that is to be realized to his self, wonderful person, as we get on the corridor of time. With same body, same everything, but a wonderful relationship to God as we, in the process, as we get down the corridor of time. So therefore, we share together that in the process, there's two, chapter 3, verse 10, there's the children of God and the children of the devil. There's two groups on the planet Earth, nothing to do with religion or anything. You're either saved or unsaved. Anywhere in the world, no matter who it is, doesn't make any difference, you're either saved or unsaved. We have whatever religion you want, pantheism, whatever you want. Doesn't make any difference. You're either saved or you're not saved. And so therefore, and the world we share together, verse 13, brethren, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And don't be all upset because the world hates you. You should understand it. And we did all that. So what? You know the world's hate you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. How can you have me, whom they hate, and not be hated? How's that? How can you have Christ in your heart, who's hated? Men love darkness rather than light. How can you have Christ in your heart and not be hated by the world? The world system says they hate. It's you. You're part of the system. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, he makes you a new creature in Christ, and all things have passed away. So in the process, the reality, we're in a state of death, and God gives us a wonderful life, and we're to evidence that life. Therefore, so we understand this, you're saved in a wonderful, wonderful way. Hold it here just for a second and go over to John, the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John and chapter 16. And remember it when we did the Gospel of John. And in chapter 16, keeping in mind verse 1. Our Lord, this is upper room before he goes out to be crucified. These things have I spoken unto you, reason that you should not be offended. I don't want you stumbling as you get down the corridor of time and you say, well, why is this and why is that? God said, you need to understand. And therefore, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. In other words, they don't want you. You're not part of them. World Council of Churches, etc., etc. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. But kills you. We did it for God. We did it for God. That's what they're going to say. We did it for God. We did it for our cause. Verse 3. These things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them. So you don't say, boy, you joined up, but you never told me this would happen. No, God said you joined up and I told you what would happen. I told you, you're going to get shot. Put the uniform on, we're going to war. You're going to get shot. You may not come back. That's what you did. Don't tell me I didn't tell you, said God. God said I did tell you. I let you know. That's why people don't make a commitment. God's commitment to you, it's hard for us to make a commitment to God. Because God may send me to Thule Land or something, and I don't want to go there. So we're looking to God. And verse chapter 16, and in verse 3, I told you these things, verse 4. The time shall come, you remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. In other words, I'm going to be with you for 3 1/3 years, and they're only going to pick on me. You'll never hear they hated Peter or they hated Thomas. You never hear that. Not for 3 1/3 years. They didn't hate any of you guys. You were part of them. They hated me, but I'm leaving. and you're going to represent me, and now you're going to be hated. And therefore to see that, just so again, so you see it, chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me. Why? Because it hated you. That I hate them. No, if the world, if it may or may not be true, it should be true. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Chapter 17, the end of his prayer. Chapter 17, and in verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath, what, dear friends? Hateth them. It hated. What's hate? Well, I'm going to want God's word. The world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. They're going to keep them in a world that hates them. That's right, to bear witness to who I am. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. Verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one, the devil himself. So God, here we are looking back over to 1 John. That's why you're going to read chapter 3, verse 13. Don't be all amazed, marvel. Stop being amazed. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The world is going to hate you. If he doesn't hate you, something's wrong. You're missing something. And you know everything's nice, the little old lady, you go by when you're a little boy or something, and you go by and everything, here's the illustration, and you go down the corner, you go past the house every day going to school, and you go to school, and after school there's lemonade and cookies, and you stop and eat them. And that's fine. The little old lady's a wonderful little lady. And say, boy, what a wonderful little old lady she is. And she does that. And then, but one day you go by, and you happen to share with her that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you in a most wonderful way, and that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or else you're lost, dead in trespasses and sin. And no more cookies, and no more lemonade. No more. All done. The nice little old lady, you went right where it hurts. My relationship to God, I don't have one. That's my problem. And he demands that I need to have one. And I'm just a little old lady. I never hurt anybody. I'm a nice person. And there's a lot of bad people in the world. And the bad people, he has to get them, not us good guys, you see. So now, here we are. The world hates you, verse 14. And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And we did that. And what? And remember now, this isn't the cause. The cause is you want to have evidence, a sign, a cause. Evidence. Chapter 14, evidence of what? That we know him. We pass from death unto life. What's the evidence? What sign? Well, in your heart, you believe and taking God at his word. Now, what other evidence? You need to be assured, and other people around you need to see what? You're truly, truly saved. You're not a secret believer. You're really, really saved. And therefore, believe, we believe, verse 14, believe because we love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And we share together. You've got to love your brother. You've got to love God's. And when you talk about that, you want to keep in mind, God loves. God is, you'll see it. Don't guess at it. I'll say it, John chapter, 1 John chapter 4, and sliding over to verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. A unique relationship. God is love. God is love in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And so God, what do you want? God is love. And we shared over and over again to remind ourselves, please don't use your thinking about love. Use God's understanding of love. Otherwise, you think, well, God loves me like my father. God loves me like my mother. Or, another way to say it, another way, I'm going to say, I love you, Jeanette. I don't say it much. Because I don't want to get too close to her. I say, Jeanette, I love Jeanette. And then I say, Jeanette, I love you. I love cheese pizza. If I had a cat, I love my cat. I love my dog. I love you. You qualify as pizza and my dog, you see. We use the word all kinds of ways. Silly. Now, so God, what are you saying? God is love. God himself is love. God gives himself. That's love. God went to the cross and died. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what he did. And died for us. He went to the cross and died. He is love. God loves us. That's right. God wants us to know and to be in a wonderful, personal, unique relationship to himself. God made us in his image and likeness to enjoy his wonderful person. That's what God has done. And that relationship. So when you love us, God, what are you saying? God's love does what? When God loves us, God takes us and brings us to God. You're going to let God be saved. You're going to come what? You're going to have eternal life, a unique relationship to God. Eternal life is nothing less. John 17:3, eternal life is a wonderful relationship to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship. That's right. So what? The relationship. To have a relationship to God. That God, he loves us, wants us to be, have a relationship to him. Not on our terms. Now we got an old nature. Christ died and took care of that and buried it. God has risen to give us enablement to be able to enjoy his awesome person, his awesome presence in an awesome way, to be able to enjoy God, to be able to honor God and look to God in a wonderful, wonderful way, to know him. That's right. To know God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what it's all about. That's what it's on. So God, when you say you're going to love me, you want me to become and have a relationship to you. My old nature, you're done with that. Crucified it, buried. I want you to have one to me, to enjoy God's wonderful person in a wonderful way. Now, having said that, relationship has to be exercised in a wonderful, wonderful way. And so, God, what am I going to do? Well, you love me. You love us. Yes, I do. So then what? Well, you want what? When you love us and you get saved, we believe that you love us and we come to know you as our Lord and Savior, what has happened to us? You brought us into the relationship of your wonderful person. And all of a sudden, we went from nothing to you. We went dead in sin to life. And you brought us to yourself. And all of a sudden, everything is different now. Because we're new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And we have a unique relationship to you. And you want us to exercise that. Like we said, reminded ourselves, God, we aren't an animal to have instinct. We are a person, and you are our life. You give us the life. You are the life. So we exercise that relationship. What am I doing? I'm letting God love me, and I love being loved. I'm letting God love me, and I love being loved. I love it. And you should too. I love being loved. So I want everything that God has and all that God has in mind for our little old hearts. That's what I want. So therefore, don't worry about the world hating you. And you want to give evidence. Love the brethren. Love the brethren. And we did all of this. Do it again and again till it locks in. God, you love the brethren. When every heart in the age of grace, in the church age, everyone that gets saved, the Lord Jesus Christ has to save them. He saves them and places them in the body of Christ, in his wonderful person. So everyone, so there's not one person sitting among us here. If you're really saved, you would have to be, and if you're really, really saved, then you what? You have Christ in you. And Christ in us, Christ in me, Christ in you. What's common? Christ is. Christ is. Christ loving me. Christ loving me. Christ in me, loving Christ in you. All right? Christ in me. Christ in me loves me. And I love being loved. And love the brethren. Christ, God is going to love himself in you. Isn't he? Love the brethren. I save them. That's not complicated. It's just we never practice it. We don't even think it. We need to understand it. God is loving you in me. And you're loving me in you. So, oh, that's interesting. See? It's all right. That's what it is. And in order to enjoy it, you have to have fellowship. Remember the tree, the branches, the pear tree, the vine. That's not even guessing, because you know everything. John chapter 15. I'm way off base here, but just let me help you a little bit. John chapter 15. And now just lock it into your brain. Yeah, your little brain, to my brain. John chapter 15. Okay. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except it abide in me. And the word abide, to dwell, to remain, to stay in the same place, to abide. Now, what do branches do out of the tree? The branches are just branches, just like pieces of wood we've had in the past, just branches, that's all. But when the branch is rightly connected to the tree, it enjoys all the life of the tree. And the life of the tree is evidenced by its branches. See the branches, and you'll see. If you see a tree, and we have some that are all dead trees, branches, just branches, they're dead, dead trees. But the tree wants to say, I'm alive. Christ said, I've risen again. I'm alive. How are you going to say it? I'm going to say it through you guys. I'm going to be life. Christ in you is your life. And Christ in you is going to what? You're going to attach to him like the tree. And God is going to go and flow out and through the branch and the leaves and the fruit. And the leaves and the fruit, they don't belong to the branch. They belong to the tree. But the tree is giving evidence of life by way of its leaves and fruit. And by the way, all the other branches on the same tree look the same way. They have the same leaves. And they have the same fruit. That's what they have. And therefore the branches are all saying, they're all waving in the wind. What? We have life. We belong to the tree. Every branch from the top to the bottom. We belong to the tree. See our leaves. See our fruit. We're all the same. That's right. That's right. If you're saved, you aren't saved by 10 different saviors. You have a wonderful life. Whose? God's life. That's how you got saved. And when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you are abiding, abiding. That's a love the brethren. The new limb. I'm going to be a new limb in the tree. I join the tree. I get attached. And the other branches look down and say, and the tree says to me, I want you to show, stay attached, abide, dwell, remain, stay attached, so that what? That I can be in you, and the fruit and the leaves are going to come out, and they're going to flow. And I want you to be able to know that you're going to be what? You're in fellowship, you're in agreement with all the other branches. And when God saved you, he made you the same as me. Same life, same love, same Lord. He made us in a most wonderful way to enjoy him. And enjoy him in a sense, love the brethren. But you can't love the brethren that aren't abiding. You can, fruit. You know, well, let me finish. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Verse 5. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then, 4. Without me, you can do, nothing. And nothing means nothing. Erase the zero. Blackboard, put the zero, and then erase it. Nothing. Nothing. And what do you think nothing means? Well, I can do nothing. There's nothing. Branch, disconnected, nothing. No matter what you want to say. So if you're unabiding, then how do we have fellowship one with another? Unless you're abiding. And if you aren't abiding, and I'm not abiding, we may be friends and have pizza and do everything. But there's no fellowship. Fellowship has to include God. The church doesn't have fellowship just because they all meet and have coffee and donuts while he speaks. It isn't that. It's a relationship. And that has to be seen and understood. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You need to abide. If you're not abiding, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. You can have wonderful humans. Humans do what we do, understandably. But there's no fellowship. There's no evidence. The church sings and they do, but there's no evidence of him. It's only when they're abiding. That's when there's evidence. We all look the same. We all look the same. Same branch, same leaves, same fruit, same God, same Christ. That's what makes us. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of religious people. No, no offense to you guys. Religious people. That's what we're doing. And we have our activity, and we call it Christians, and we do it. And what do you say? Where is Christ? If you don't abide. Don't abide in his. And now he got that. Without me, you can do nothing. And my Father is glorified. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall do what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So we need to abide. And if you don't abide, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Hypocrite, they aren't real. So you need to be real. You need to look to God in a wonderful way to do a wonderful thing. So you have to have that. That's the way it is. How are you going to have? You have to abide. You have to abide, and you be in what? You have to have fellowship. 1 John 1:3. This is the fellowship. Back over to 1 John 1:3. And we have the fellowship, and we're to have that fellowship in a most wonderful way. And that's what we're going to have. So, So we have a lot of everything going on in church, people, us people do, but they don't have Christ. It's different. It's different when Christ is there. Whole thing's different. Smells different. Looks different. Comes up, it's different. Christ is there. It isn't just us having a time together. Only we call it a religious time. People have secular times, social times, religious times. They have them. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. It's us humans. But in order to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to be abiding. And you have to be what? Abiding. And what's it going to do? 1 John 1:3, you know, that which we have seen and heard, which is the beginning of 1 John, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when we're abiding, we have fellowship with the Father and each other. Take away that, you don't have it. I don't care how you do it. Let's say, well, we love each other. That's true. It isn't a question of you loving each other. It's you loving God. And when God's love, it's God's love in you that you're letting God love you. And that love overflows because God loves himself in you. And everything he's doing in you, he's doing in me. The same God, the same Savior, he's doing it. And that's what gives us this oneness. It isn't because we have the same father or mother or something else. It isn't because we went to the same school. We belong to the same church. It isn't that. It's because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So we need to see that. And God has to help us understand God's wonderful, wonderful working. And thus we're going to do that. Otherwise, we don't have it. Now, you can say you have it. But to say you have it, but you need to have it. You need to have that relationship. And God meant that relationship. It cost him his Son to save you, to want to have such a wonderful relationship to him and to show that relationship. In the process, we can do whatever we do, and God helps us. And we're content. And if we said this somewhere else, I said it. I just think about it. No one wants to do what we just said. We don't want to do that. Do you know how much it would limit us? It doesn't limit you. You enjoy everybody, but you just don't have fellowship unless God's in it. That's all. God just isn't in that. So you're looking for God to be. That's why you have prayer times, to try to line up with God so that you're lined up with God. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we're reading it. That's why we're trying to understand it. For what reason? So that we can understand God's wonderful working in a wonderful way in our heart. And as God has, I understand the limb of the tree. I understand each limb of the tree. I understand my relationship and your relationship. And therefore, as I practice mine, you practice yours, and we exercise, and we enjoy a wonderful God in a wonderful way. Over now in 1 John and in chapter 3. And you will note, in chapter 3 we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother, hateth his brother. Now, so therefore we've got to put that together. So what do you mean hate? To hate the brother. To hate the brother. Now, and the illustration is given up in chapter 3 and verse 12, remember? And but not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now remember, there's no one else around when Cain and Abel are there. Just the two of them. And Cain is going to go and do what? He's got an old nature. He's in a state of death, the same as Abel is. Only Abel is honoring God and looking to God to save him. And Cain is not. And of all the things, the old nature And this is day one, day one in the beginning for Cain. There's no one else around. He just got one old nature. He was born with it. His mother and father weren't, but he is, and his brother is, had the same. But he's looking to his old nature. He isn't. He's going to leave God out. And when you leave God out, what's it going to turn out? What's it going to do? You got the old nature. And we read it in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So therefore, when light, Abel is looking for light and takes the light and sacrifices in the light of Calvary's cross to come. Cain does not. And of all the things in your old nature, what comes out the very first? Hatred. Hatred and murder. Hatred and murder. You'll see it. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, why would you say that? Why would you say that? Because you hate. And what does hate do? Hate makes for murder. And you say, well, I'm not a murderer. I don't hate. Okay, let's lock that in a little bit. Over, if you would please, to the book of Galatians. As you would guess, Galatians in chapter 5. And you know the fruit. And what we're trying to do, as we think together here, is to get a handle on connecting. I don't want to be vague about God. I want to connect. I don't want to just talk about something, think about something, and it's gone to the next thing. I want to connect. So I'm trying to help you understand in myself this way to do it. And if you do it the wrong way, we got a whole society that says, don't do it our way, because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We got to do it right. So therefore, Galatians chapter 5, abiding, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first thing, dear friends? Love. Where does love come from? The vine, you stay attached to the vine. Christ died on the cross and loved you, and his ministry is to give you his life. Where am I going to get his life? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring that life to you. It isn't your life or my life. It isn't my love or your love. It's his love. It's his love. It's his grace. It's his peace. His joy. He brings his life out of you, in you, into the branch, the leaves and the fruit. It brings it out into us. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, the Spirit of God. But on the other hand, we have an old sin nature. In chapter 5, verse 19. But if you be led of the Spirit, verse 18, be not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are murder, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. And see the next one? Hatred. Hatred. Where's that? It's stuck smack dab in the middle of you. And not only hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders. Where's that in you? That's right. That's right. What did you do, Cain? You did that which is normal for the old nature. You resented and hated light, and you went after it and killed. What are you going to do with our Lord for 3 1/3 years? You're trying to kill him, trying to kill him, trying to kill him. But you couldn't touch him. You wanted to. Boy, did you want to. Until God gave you permission. And then you took him to the cross and crucified him. You wanted to kill him. You're right. He's light. The God, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. He's the life of the world. Life. And you wanted to kill him because you love darkness and death. You're in a state of death. And you don't understand God. You can't see God. Don't understand. And so therefore, he's a foreign entity. He's outside. No, God, whatever you are. And we're down here and we try to communism, evolution, All of it's there. And we got that, but down here, trying to make our life be all right, but it isn't. Because we don't, we make believe there is no tomorrow, but at the same time, we can never get rid of tomorrow. Because tomorrow is going, always going to come. Always going to come. You lose your breath, and you lose your life, and you face eternal life. Now, so therefore, in God's wonderful kindness, envyings, murdering, strife, verse 21, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They aren't saved. They aren't saved. You want to know, what's the evidence, 1 John? 1 John is love the brethren. You want evidence that you're saved? Love the branches. You can only do it when you're in fellowship. Otherwise, you're just carnal, fleshly. And it doesn't show up. But if you're looking for insurance in your heart to lock in, God, am I really saved? I do love being saved. I do love you saving other people. I love you, God, for saving them. I don't hate them. I love them. Love my enemies. I love them. I got an old nature. I got all the things I do. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 10, we have an old nature. And God has to help us in the light of that. But God, I do love you. That's what I want. That's my evidence. You want to see it? I do love. I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I love being loved. And I love everybody that loves him. I love everybody that loves him. I do. And the others say, well, we do it ever. Then we don't have much fellowship then. We don't have any. It doesn't mean we aren't friends. It doesn't mean we can't do things. It just means we don't have fellowship. We aren't showing that relationship unless I abide and looking to you. And as I abide and rest in you, and I'm going to have a relationship. And I'm going to enjoy the relationship to God. Pray without ceasing. Walk in the grace, walk by faith and not by sight. And walk by faith. We're going to walk. We're going to live. We're going to behave in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, having said that, in verse chapter, back over to 1 John. And I sort of sidetracked everything here. But hope you got a little bit. Just trying to help you understand the relationship. In other words, otherwise we just hear a message and you got it. I got it. Made a little note in my Bible. Did it? Good. That's a good note. But now what? Now what? Should be closer, closer. God draws us. So we want to grow, to grow up, to be knowing and growing and going and knowing and growing. And I know I don't hate. Otherwise, I'd be like you. I'd be unsaved. I can't do that anymore. If I hate like that, I'm a murderer. That's right. You're no different than anybody else. Some do it actually. But in your heart, you're guilty as can be. The Lord Jesus said it in Matthew 5 and that. He said, what? If I just do this, if I do this act, But God said, before you even do the act, you did it in your heart. It's the same thing. It's out of the heart. Adam and Eve didn't sin by doing it. They already in their heart wanted to be and see if we could be like God, knowing good and evil. They already did that before they even picked the fruit. And they could have not picked it, but they did. And God warned Cain. Cain, sin lieth at your door. It's right there. If you don't do something, it's going to catch you. And it did. And he slit the throat of Abel. That's what it did. God said, it's in your heart. So God, what are we doing? Back to the good in closing. You get the idea. Good, the gospel. He died. And all the dumb things that are wrong that we could fret and fume and fuss about. Christ crucified them. And my old nature and yours is crucified. God's finished. So you don't need to bring up and say, God, I did it again. Say, I did it again, God. Sure you could. But God, God, I need to talk about it. No, you don't. Don't need to talk. You need to confess your sin and drop it. Drop it. Otherwise, you have a big discussion about something that God has crucified. And when things are dead, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Dead people don't care about argument and debate and dialogue, do they? Go to the cemetery and see how many they're going to bother you. They don't care about you. What do they care? They're dead. Reckon yourself, not physically, reckon yourself dead. I crucified and buried you, and you're alive. And you need to understand, I have risen again. And when you received me as your Savior, I made you a child of God. And when I made you a child of God, I want you to live as a child of God. I want you to live in a real, right relationship to who I am, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want you to enjoy being a new creature in Christ. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. That's the evidence. And you'll know it. That's why you know you're saved. It isn't because I feel saved or something. No. Or I'm better than you or other. No. 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 You just know. We know it from God's word. We know it from God's saving grace. And now we know it. Experience. I know it. I love the brethren in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that, I wasn't sure the thing fell, but there it is. Whatever. Whatever. You know, sometime we have a shower in the house. Sometime we have a bathtub or something. We have a shower. And it's a thing that Jeanette has. Jeanette has a thing that it plugs into the wall so you can hold it. You know those things that plunge and holds the thing? It holds it. So when you stand up or something, you hold on to it. You got that. So I've been studying, doing whatever. I hear thump, thump. I said, what happened? I get up and run out. I said, what's happened, Jeanette? She said, nothing. The thing fell. Keep boom, crash on the floor. And I get up. I said, wow, I don't need to get up. Now it falls, I don't care. And it will be Jeanette. There we got the idea. God has a wonderful thing, and he's trying to get you to see it. Otherwise, you're just going to go, you can go to, you can have Bible up to here in your head, but if it isn't in your heart, you're none of anything. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. God said, are you searching for what? I want to see your heart. Your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what you're looking for, yes. I want to see your heart. I want you to be loved. I want you to love being loved. I want you to know. I want you to enjoy my wonderful person and that my saving grace and the Spirit of God's wonderful person is to make it all work. Thank you. Thank you very much. Our Father and God, we look to you with thanksgiving and help us in a little way to understand. And our Father will thank you very, very much. God, help us to hang in there till we do understand. That's our problem. We tend to back off and back away. And we never get far enough in anything to really, really grab hold of it, to let it grab hold of us. So deal with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. And help us in every way. God, we've just said a little bit to think about it. In Christ's name, amen.